This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 629. Yo soy Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my fabulous, fabulous co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Je m'appelle Nicole.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. During the pandemic, as we are now, we are homegrown and pre-recorded. Please stick with us. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
Like I see you, the words you choose are hard to see through, and sometimes I can't tell, do you know me so well?
It is Wednesday, August 11th, 2021. On the show today, you just got me, Nicole, and some music, and the world of Broadway and theater in New York, Chicago, California, and Prague. My mother died really young. Don't go away. We'll be right back. That must be where I am. So that song was from a concept album called Edge of the World. And the song's name was Real and Simple. Why didn't my little thing come up here? Try it again. So this is a concept album from Ethan Slater. And well, played by Ethan Slater and Norbert Leo Norbert Leo Butts. Oh my gosh, is that the way it's going to be today,
twister,
Nicole?
It's a tongue twister, that Norbert Leo Butts. Once you get it, it starts going, but it's a tongue twister sometimes.
But it has Ethan Slater, Norbert Leo Butts, and Lily Cooper. And it's called The Edge of the World. And it is written by Tony nominee, Mr. Ethan Slater. So I think that it's going to be, I think the idea is to create, to make it a musical. And, you know, I don't really know who Lily Cooper is, but she was in Spring Awakening, amongst other things. Do you know her?
Yeah, I was like, we've talked about her a few times here and there. Her name's popped up enough that I always kind of noticed, but I haven't seen anything to like live to be like and captured. Probably, I feel like she'd be a cush jumbo for me. Like I'd see her and be like, how did I not know about this person? Kind of a thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I first saw her name, I thought she was your Lily Crawford.
Lila
Crawford, whatever. Lily, Lila, tomato, Danny tomato. Girl. This is an interesting thing. This was just released, and Ethan Slater, folks will know him. I guess he got his biggest claim in the SpongeBob musical, which you saw that, didn't you?
Yeah, I recorded the live performance. I didn't see it live. I watched the filming of the performance.
You did? Where was that available somehow and I missed it?
I think I may still have it on my DVR, so I could tell you.
Yeah, it's okay. So it was something.
I can't remember.
It was something available. It was something available to the public.
It was. It was on. I think it was on a cable station of some sort, and I don't remember which one. SpongeBob the Musical live on stage. It was on Nickelodeon.
Oh, I do remember when that happened and I did not get to see it, but you still have it on your DVR. So
I do. I recorded it. It first aired December 7th, 2019.
Wow. There you go.
And I just looked at Ethan staring at me in the picture as I read that.
We love Ethan. We opened on Broadway in June. Broadway reopened in June with your friend, Bruce Springsteen, which we both agree is not really theater per se. But we did finally this last week, actually before our show aired last week, but after we recorded it, We opened on Broadway with Passover.
We did.
Yeah. So this is the play. And I know I'm going to kill the pronunciation of her name. Oh my God, why can't I see it?
I don't have it in front of me, or I'm not going to try it without looking at it physically. Yeah,
that's what I'm looking at it. The New York Times article on it. And I didn't circle the playwright's name.
I'm blanking on everything.
Yeah, I got it. Here it is.
I'm blanking on his name.
Antoinette Chinyonwe Nwandu. And I'm sure
there
I,
you go.
Yeah. And this is, two people, it's about two black men trapped under a streetlight, afraid to leave, dare they leave their corner or they could be killed by a police officer. And this opened prior to the pandemic off Broadway. And since then, she wrote a new ending. Spoiler alert. When it opened before, one of the men was killed at the end. The new ending does not include a death of one of them. And she said that she wanted to not have that, not have that negativity on the show. So she changed the ending. So I thought that was interesting. This is directed, and I don't know whether there's any relation, but this is Danya Taymor. Directed it. But this article had interviews with people having mixed emotions. Masks and vaccines were required to be in the theater. Social distancing was not. So it was a full house, as they will be. But everybody was like very excited to be back in a theater again. I'm sure there were tears of joy. But also layered with a mix of apprehension because of...
Yeah, it's interesting. I went on and was looking at people's social posts, and that seemed to be what it felt like, because at the same time, the first tour left. So there was the first Broadway tour started the same night or same day before, within a day of Passover. So it was interesting to see people just in general back in the theater with Wicked the Musical and with Passover, and to see all these reactions of joy, completion, apprehension. It was just interesting.
Yep. So there was a big party in the street outside the theater afterwards. And Nwandu addressed the crowd from the balcony above the theater. And she said she felt like Black Evita. I think that's great. So this is
every balcony an Evita box, actually. So, I mean,
yep. So the musicals that are going to be opening on September 2nd, we have Hadestown opening, Waitress on the 14th. We have Hamilton, The Lion King, and Wicked. And this show, Passover, is one of, I think, seven or eight. Is it seven plays written by Black playwrights to open this season, which is amazing.
And I'm totally blanking on the gentleman's name who's in it. He's been in the cast since Chicago when they first were workshopping this and played it before New York. He was on Elementary. He's got a three name. I want to say Hall's in his name. I cannot believe why I'm blanking out on it right now. Like, total driving me nuts.
Well,
and I love him. He
plays
Marcus.
I wish I could help you, but I don't
driving
see
me nuts, because I should know his name, not a character he played a while
it's
ago.
It's okay. Well, people can look it up. There's the thing called the Google. Passover was in 2017 played the Steppenwolf in Chicago. I did not know that.
Yes. I knew about it all then. So I had been watching then, because I adore him. So I was like, oh, what is he doing? Right when Elementary stopped, and discovered Passover and the blah, blah, blah. And here we are.
Okay. Well, it is time, of course, for my Schmigadoon update.
Oh, Oh, please give me some Schmigadoon update.
We only have one more of these things. It's over. They've got this last episode. Episode 5 was the penultimate episode. And again, I continue to be in love with it. I think they keep raising the bar. This time had the inclusion of one incredible Jane Krakowski. Who did a take on I'm True to My Man in its fashion. And he was playing Fraulein Schroeder from Sound of Music. It was just really, really, really fun. When we're done talking about it, we're going to play the entire song. I think it's called Tribulation. Hold on. I'll tell you what it's called. It's called Tribulation. And it is, You Got Trouble from The Music Man, sung by, Miss Christian Chenoweth, who had lost me, but I'm back. I'm back with Kristen.
I was just about to tell you, I watched a great interview with her this week and it was with Schmigadoon and the Eclipse. And I was like, I have to tell Lisa, I think she won me back again this week. And you and I were so like, I'm over her.
This show is so clever. And I was listening to one of the podcasts wondering what if there's going to be a next season, what it's going to be and whether or not they will go. Because this is all of an era of classic American musicals from like the 40s. And so I'm wondering if they'll maybe switch to contemporary musicals or
like a different couple with different genre or different era. Yeah.
I'm not? Sorry. I would hate Cecily Strong is now my new favorite person.
She's got to keep looking for a lot of true love then.
Yeah. Well, she might, it might continue to be the two of them. So I also, there's a YouTube vlogger called Broadway by Ghostlight, and he does a recap of this with there's another vlogger, Drunk Broadway somebody, who does his 5 thank yous, and this guy, you can look him up on YouTube as Broadway by Ghostlight. It's worth watching. He gives you all the different.
What a clever title, Broadway, isn't it?
And I'm going to try to get his name so I give him credit. He goes through, shows you all the Easter eggs, shows you clips. It's all available on the YouTubes. And I'm going to get his name right now because I just looked him up.
I just know the Instagram Broadway by Bob, and he makes me laugh. But I need to find the YouTuber's Broadway by Ghostlight. This sounds intriguing.
Yeah, he's pretty funny, and puts together good. And they're short.
I mean, funny.
Yeah, me too. So I do need to share with you and our audience a little piece from the show, an audio piece. So we've talked at length here on Offstage and On the Air. Well, let's play this clip first and then we'll talk about it.
Maybe I am the bad guy.
Oh no, is this a dream ballet?
No, we're not having a dream ballet, okay? They're annoying and stupid. They slow everything down. Nobody likes a dream ballet. Nobody.
Okay, that's going to be my new ringtone.
Yeah, I don't like a dream ballet either. Could you make that a ringtone for me, please, and share? Because nobody likes a dream ballet.
Yeah, so that was Cecily Strong. It was right after Jane Krakowski kicked her out of the car and says she wasn't going to be Fraulein Schroeder and she's going to keep Jaime Camille. And she's feeling all sad. And then all the lights turn purple and a person that looks like Cecily Strong in a costume similar to Cecily Strong starts walking in and she says that. And then the lights change back and the woman, the dancer, like has this just crushed look on her face and turns around and just walks away. It's A beautiful scene.
It's all sad. Like, I can't dance.
So that's my Schmigadoon report. Well, there'll be one more of these next week, but if all goes as planned, I really love it.
It's the Schmigadoon report with Lisa Sheps. Schmigadoon. She'll Schmigadoon. Tell you what's next. It's Lisa Sheps and Schmigadoon.
Boo-doo-doo.
To get it an hour after noon.
All right, let's take a break and listen to Tribulation. It's kind of long. We may not hear the whole thing, but we may. You never know. Here it is. This is Kristen Chenoweth leading the pack with Tribulation.
We've got tribulation, my good sir. We've got tribulation and...
What you didn't see, and this is why this may be worth it, that entire song was done as a single take. And Cinco Paul, who wrote it and wrote the music, evidently, and I don't know that this is true, but he said it in Ghostlight, Broadway by Ghostlight, it was also done on the first take.
I think that she just covered that in that interview. I saw part of a clip of that. I believe you heard correctly.
Well, I don't know why they would lie about it, but it's definitely worth watching. A single take. It was about 4 minutes long, and it was a production number. If you've seen The Music Man, you know what kind of number it looks like. But well worth seeing that for any other reason. Just the incredible camera work, the choreography. And if it was on the first take, oh my God, mazel tov.
You said, you kept saying Music Man. I did not know Sutton Foster is in England right now starring in another musical.
I didn't know about that.
Wait, is that part of why Music Man got pushed more and not COVID? And pretty great reviews from what I've read for her, but she's starring in Anything Goes in the West End right now.
Anything Goes is not one of my favorites.
You know what? You and I saw that together. That's right. You said that to me and I couldn't believe it.
I love the music. Love the music. I mean, how you can't not like Cole Porter's music.
It's the tap numbers. Oh,
but the story, the whole, it just, it's like, it leaves me hollow and bored. And I'm sorry, but the music is gorgeous.
The music is great. But I was just totally just like, whoa. Now, didn't she play Reno Sweeney here in the States? I think she's already done it.
Quite possibly. Quite possibly.
I think she was up for a Tony for it. I could be wrong. It seems like that was a lifetime ago, and it was probably only 10 years ago, but.
Okay, so I'm going to, changing the subject, not for any other reason other than I think. Anyway, changing the subject.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, it was just totally random. You said Music Man a few times, so I had to ask you, did you know? I was perplexed.
No, that's good. And I couldn't remember that. And I'm glad you brought it up. Anything Goes. That was my sorority name in college.
Well, there you go.
This is something I did not know about. And I happened to be clicking around the Amazon television, the Amazon Prime. You know me, I'm a fan of my Cinderella. And I'm a fan of my Leslie Ann Warren version, and I'm a fan of my Brandy version, and there's a new one, and I like it. It's a new you didn't like it, but it's got Billy Porter is the fairy godmother, and he's amazing. And the music I heard was funny. The trailer is kind of clever.
So it's not the same Cinderella, the musical, like
no,
the Leslie Ann Warren or the Brandy. It's
all
its own
new.
Take. They lost me. I was like, why are they playing Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation? And that was so early in the trailer that I just couldn't get over that. I liked Billy Porter. I kind of got over for a minute. Suddenly it's appearing. And then like I got lost again a few times and I wanted to, and I just, then there were moments I liked it, and Idina Menzel was playing a very, very nasty, wonderful stepmother, and she was very nasty good at it, and Billy Peard made me happy, and I found it really weird with the old songs and then original songs. It was just kind of confusing.
I don't think they have any of the
Jackson Rhythm Nation.
I think it's all original. I don't think there's any of the old songs.
No, there was covers of pop tunes all throughout that entire thing. Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation was what they were singing outside.
I didn't see that in the trailer. I saw none of that existed. So the
Camila part, Cabello the role of Cindy.
That's what I was just going to say. And you took it out of my mouth.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You're welcome to do that. I was unfamiliar and I guess still am unfamiliar with her. But she's a Cuban American singer, songwriter, and very pretty.
She's very popular with the youngins, with the teens and stuff. The one trailer, she was singing, I think, an original song for a bit. She's a beautiful voice.
Yep. And I do like in the trailer, the one and only trailer I've seen, Billy Porter says, "Don't you want to go to the ball?" And she says, "Yeah, I was just talking and singing about it," which I think is a funny meta kind of musical thing.
There was some funny moments like that. And I liked that Cindy was a little sassy and it wasn't taking it from anybody. I liked where they were going with the character. I was just very mixed and I couldn't get over. I love Janet Jackson. I couldn't get over them all dancing to Rhythm Nation. That threw me off.
I personally don't have a problem with it and will watch it. So one of the things that I've been doing recently is I've been looking at small, like 2 to 4 people musicals. And there's just a slew of musicals, small musicals that aren't terribly popular, that a lot of people haven't heard of. So I thought I would play some of that music from some of these today. But one, actually, we've talked about on this show quite a bit, which is Daddy Long Legs.
Yes, we have.
And it's an interesting story about, it's a 2-person musical, and it is a story of a girl that her school is being paid for by this unnamed man. She calls him Daddy Long Legs because she's only seen a shadow of him when the sun was down, and so he had very long legs in the shadow. Her only stipulation was she has to write him a weekly letter. I'm looking for the composer to make sure. So it's a book by John Caird and music and lyrics by Paul Gordon. And it is based on the 1912 novel. It's kind of a weird thing, but I thought I'd play a little piece. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was like, it's a little weird and strange, but intriguing.
It's funny. I thought it was real recently in terms of the seasons that it was, but it's it played off Broadway in 2015, I think. So it was longer ago than I thought. I thought it was just a few years ago. But let's play this song called My Manhattan Daddy from Daddy. My Manhattan. I didn't have a break in there from Daddy Long Legs. But I like the idea of My Manhattan Daddy as well.
I was like, that works too, I guess.
This is called My Manhattan from Daddy Long Legs. Here it is.
Lights are bright in the New York night.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa
and Nicole.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming on KOOP.org. We are pre-recorded. And speaking of that, Nicole, we are scheduled to go back into the studio at the end of this month. But our guests cannot. So we'll still be doing our interviews pre-recorded, and we may be doing the whole thing pre-recorded. Who knows? But
keep the listeners posted. But we're not going anywhere. We'll still
at the
be
very on. Least, I will be in the studio live when it's airing. That we know for sure. Starting, I think, the 24th of August.
Dun dun dun.
Bun dun dun. Let's see what.
I had to look it up because it was driving me nuts, because then I was sitting here having epiphanies going, Sutton Foster wasn't Anything Goes here. It was. It was with the Kathleen Marshall version that we saw on tour, because Joel Grey was in it with her. So it had to be 2010, 2011, right around there.
Okay. Well, I'm going to write that down and put it in my diary.
It's racking my brains, man. It was driving me nuts.
Okay, man. No, it's good. This is something you sent me. Which I'm very happy about. And it's Zoe's
Yes.
Animated playlist or whatever it's called.
Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Yes.
Which was the wonderful television show you and I both loved watching that they just ended this past season without really tying things up.
Yes. And my very lovely company that operates my television sets, Roku, decided to pick it up and do a 2-hour finale, if you will.
A finale movie to close everything up for all of, for you and me. They heard us, Lisa.
I'm telling you, I have my fingers crossed that local favorite Sandra May Frank will have a piece in that.
I hope so too, because still to this day, that was one of the best things I've seen on television in decades. Like that,
it was like, pretty amazing.
It still gets me.
To refresh everybody's memory, Sandra May Frank is a deaf actor living here in Austin, and they had a whole piece around this person who was deaf, and they did a number totally in sign language, ASL, American Sign Language, with no subtitles and nothing voiced. So that's a way for hearing people to get an idea what deaf people go through on a daily basis. So
it was one of the most powerful numbers too. Like one of the most powerful things. It was so good.
Agree. All right. So
I'm excited. I had to send it to you right away. The minute I saw it, I was like, OMG, Lisa.
Very excited about it. And so the other thing I heard when I heard one of the podcasts I listened to talked about how Roku also bought all of Quibi's material. Do you remember Quibi?
I do remember Quibi.
So Quibi, for those that don't remember, was a failed website that did 10-minute things.
Films,
and
features,
lots of
shorts, yeah.
Lots of very famous people did these. One of them was one of my favorite, Anna Kendrick. And I couldn't remember what it was, so I had to look it up. And it's a show called Dummy. It is 10 episodes.
That was the name of the show, really?
And it's actually the person that wrote it. It came from his real life, and I can't remember his name, so I apologize to him. He's a television writer. He had a sex doll, a blow-up doll, that his wife found out about. and that's what this is about. And Anna Kendrick plays his girlfriend, and the blow-up doll comes to life. And they do it
so
very
kind of like Mannequin, but in this musical blow-up doll weird world.
It's kind of, and the way they do it is the mannequin doesn't change, but the face from the eyes to the mouth come kind of alive. So the mouth moves and the eyes move. And they talk, and then they become friends, and this mannequin becomes her writing partner.
I want to say it's strange, but Mannequin with Kim Cattrall and Andrew McCarthy still, I love that movie.
Oh, it's good. So it was really fun. So if you knew about Quibi and you wanted to see some of those things, it's available on the Roku channel, which is out there for anybody to look at. I need to go back and see what other Quibi things are out there that I want to look at. But there's some interesting things. If you're just browsing through Roku, it is they're listed as Roku Originals. So that's how to find them.
Where do you find them on there? But now you've just told me, Lisa. Thank you for that.
There you go. All right. So I want to talk about something that I think many people will probably disagree with me on. And I'm going to preface all this with the good old disclaimer that the views established or expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of the staff or board of Co-op. They are merely the opinions of me and Nicole, whatever your name was. I lost your name for just a little second. So this all came from listening to my podcast Today on Broadway. And they were talking about, I think you might have heard about this new production of Funny Girl that's in the offing.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to bring up any of this Funny Girl stuff. Yes, I did, because Broadway Bob had a funny post about it that we were talking about people we watch, my Instagram guy. So, but yes. Please. What did he say about it?
Well, it's not, I'm not going where you think I am. I don't think.
He had three suggestions on it. Number three made me laugh. Keep Lea Michele away from it.
Yeah, that's what they said. The person we think is going to do it is Beanie Feldstein. Then there's other people that were in the mix for this. But one of the things that the podcast I was listening to was talking about some of their choices who are not Jewish, and that's not appropriate to hire a non-Jewish person to play that role. So I want to take a moment and talk about representation in general. And I am a very liberal person. I'm one of those people that that are politically correct in my language and everything going. And I do believe that proper representation is necessary, comma, but I think we can take it to levels that are counterproductive. And where I think that representation is necessary are for those groups that have been underrepresented, for Asian people, where people have been playing yellow face, yes, for ethnicities and race that people have been playing other things, for a long time, LGBT people or lesbian and gay people were not represented well, that other people were doing it. I don't think that's so much true. Jewish people, not on that list as far as I'm concerned. So I don't think there's anything wrong as a Jewish person for a non-Jew actor to play a Jewish character. I also think there's, depending on the piece, think there's necessarily anything wrong with a non-LGBT person playing a lesbian and gay person playing a lesbian or gay actor. This could all be taken to ridiculous heights. It could be a show set in New York City called Washington Heights, and these actors aren't from New York City. How could they do this show?
I was just about to say there's a lot of Greek people that play Italians or Italians that play Greeks. Like
that was another thing.
Get where you're going.
In the same podcast, they were talking about. Evidently Lady Gaga is in the running for this show. And first of all, she's too old for it, but she's,
I was like, everybody said no, Lady Gaga was another one, but
she's Italian. So how can an Italian play Jew? I'm sorry. And I don't, there are people that say
she's starring in a movie right now, The House of Gucci, about the famous Gucci murders. And people are angry that there aren't real Italians playing, because Adam Driver's in it. He's not Italian. And I'm like, you guys.
Again, I don't think Italians are in that group of marginalized people that don't have good representation.
No.
So I think we need to look at representation in context of the world and not just a blanket thing, because it could get totally ridiculous. And when you are acting, you're putting yourself in a role that is not you. So yes, it's unfair for a non-Asian person to play an Asian character when there would be Asian people available. But I'm sorry, I think that Jewish people are pretty well represented on stage. I don't think that Jewish character needs to be played by someone who practices the faith of Judaism.
No.
Bam, off of soapbox.
I saw that, and it was like they were all yelling about House of Gucci, and then this week with this, and I'm like, where does it stop? I'm very confused by what you're arguing about here right now.
Yeah. So
and that it went from film now to musical stuff. I'm very confused, people.
Yeah, well, I'm not confused. I mean, I can see where it can go, but I think there's a line, and I think there's a reason to have correct representation. And then that's my feelings. And I'm happy if people want to get on the comment section and talk about this, because I can see many different sides of this, but I also believe that we can take it to a length that it doesn't need to be taken to.
Yeah, it's important to have a conversation and understand why and where people are coming from.
Great. Well, let's take another break and listen to another show. This one's called Ordinary Days. Have you heard of it?
I sounds familiar, but I can't offhand say anything, but my brain's a little slow today.
It's a completely sung through musical with music and lyrics by Adam Guan. It's set in New York and follows four characters and how their ordinary lives connect in the most amazing ways. So we're going to listen to that. And we're going to listen to Saturday at the Met, which I found a really fun song.
Okay.
Here's one thing you should know about me. My sense of direction is irrelevant.
Well, that was a fun song. We are back. How about the Officer and a Gentleman musical? I think we talked about that.
I was wondering if you were going to bring this up too. I find it just a strange musical.
It is, and it's kind of a jukebox musical. It uses 80s music. So there's a lot of things, and it is going to open at the Smith Center in Las Vegas on October 26th. I will say that the Smith Center's executive director is my childhood friend, Myron Martin, who we were sweet mates in college. Very talented man.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a very talented man. And he's been running the Smith Center for a while. I believe he turned it around. But it
When's
is starting.
The last time you saw An Officer and a Gentleman?
When it first came out.
Oh. No, I've watched it recently in like the last 2 or 3 years. It's depressing.
It is indeed. So
it's like Urban Cowboy. You think it's so like, and you watch that one again and you're like, that's depressing.
So music wise, this is from theatermania.com, written by Haley Levitt. And in the article, it says, featuring a score based in the 1980s catalog of music that gave voice to a generation, the show includes hits from Rick Springfield, Styx, Debbie Gibson. I don't think she goes by Debbie anymore. Richard Marx, sure. Wilson Phillips, Pat Benatar. And then they're going to do Up Where We Belong.
Oh, well, I mean, how do you not? Love it, yeah. Where we belong.
So it's directed by Dick Scanlon. Speaking of Sutton Foster, he directed Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Ooh, a lot of Sutton today.
Yep. I like me some Sutton Foster. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. So what are your thoughts of Officer and a Gentleman?
I don't know. I'm like mixed on it, but then like, I was like, the soundtrack sounds great. I don't know. I mean, like, I want to say no, and then I'm really intrigued and like, can't not say no, but I don't know. I love the movie. It is depressing, but I you know, I don't know. I love Urban Cowboy. It's depressing. They're two weird ones that I don't know.
I'm with you. I'm not sure. Did you see?
I would like to be pleasantly surprised, and I have an open mind.
That's good. Me too. What are you doing on September 10th? You busy?
Is that the Tonys?
No. It is when the Come From Away video version shows up on Apple Plus.
Yes. I did see that earlier. I couldn't remember the date. So that's coming up. That's pretty exciting.
Yes. And this is with most of the original cast. Mm-hmm. And I will be right there at midnight on September 10th with my thing watching it because
is it Apple Plus?
It is. It's Apple Plus. And I loved the tour that came through here. It was amazing. The performances were amazing. So I can only assume that the original cast and Jen Colella will blow me away.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one.
So anyway, that comes September 10th. What about the Bridgerton TikTok musical? Have you seen that one?
No. So we played some of it and talked about it like when they were first doing stuff. Yeah. I don't know how no.
All right. Well, there'll be a link on our website to a YouTube clip that has a lot of the music, but it looks like fun. I mean, were you a Bridgerton fan?
No. I mean, I'm not like, no, I'm not against her. I think just,
Okay, well, I was a Bridgerton fan, and I'm looking forward to it. And I don't know how I feel about the TikTok musicals. I'm just so terrible at pop culture. You know, the things had like zillions of views, and I don't find out about it till much later because I don't look at any of that stuff. So shame on me.
I feel like I'm in the same boat. So, I mean, I don't know why you think you're alone there.
So I think the last thing we'll talk about today is a piece of local news. I got an email from Alyssa Dillard, who is a local performer and theater maker here in Austin, Texas. She is now living and working in Prague and doing some amazing work. She did something during the pandemic at Ground Floor Theater that was done online with some people from Prague. And it was kind of out there, but amazing as well, where they built stuff and they did things with found items. And it's all about working with a very small carbon footprint. But she emailed me about a film project that's in the works between her and this Prague group and Austin. And I just love the title of it. It's called Marie Antoinette Walks Elegantly. It's an art performance, and it's going to premiere in the fall of this year. And they're looking for help. And there's going to be information on what you can do if you go to our website, okay, offstageonair.com, and click the link that says Marie Antoinette Walks Elegantly. Hopefully I'll change it. Right now it says Walks Eloquently, but it's actually Elegantly. Thank you, spell checker.
I feel like spell check changes words to totally different words with meanings all the time on me.
They do. And I'm kind of lazy, and I let her do it. And I don't go back and recheck sometimes, and shame on me. I think Alyssa does just such amazing work, and she's a really good soul. So I wish her the best of luck with
that.
That's
really cool.
Well, I think that everybody has done it. They've spent an hour with us. Once again,
I know.
We're going to go out. We'll talk about this first as soon as I look it up. I had it on my computer, and then I closed my browser and it's all gone. So I have to re-look it up. But this is a show called Unexpected Joy. You heard of that one?
I don't know. Not offhand.
You don't know? I'm going to tell you all about it.
Tell me.
You know what? There's not a Wikipedia page, but there was the review in the New York Times. So Now I know what it's at. This is it's called a Me Generation musical. It did not get a great review, but it had, it's about three generations of women on stage, and they do music. The oldest one is a known musician, and her name is Jump. Oh no, so it's her husband's memorial concert, and his name is Jump. Her name is Joy. So you insert your own joke there. The review written by Laura Collins Hughes in 2018 called it tone deaf.
This was recent that this musical. Okay.
Yeah. So it's basically a clash of the generations, sort of centering on the Me Too generation. So that's it. Oh, but that's the other reason why you like it. It's written by Bill Russell of Sideshow.
Interesting. I didn't even know he worked on this. Okay.
And a former guest of Offstage and On the Air.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to listen. When we leave, we'll be listening to the song Better Times Are Coming. Because
better times are coming.
So, folks, we will see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Ciao.
Thank you. Praise God. As David just said, our message at the Good News Hour is always one of hope. The winds of change keep blowing, all certainty.